Good one-on-one conversation is like making love, caressing each other with words and heady, engaging topics of conversation. And Humble and Fred do it every morning. They make love to each other. With the whole country listening in.
Legendary Humble and Fred Radio. Canada's national morning show.
And a dangerous man.
They are not right there.
Redhead said to read a look at that cabin said need a bed in Espanol. So I give a drink of water, I'm gonna sing around the collar, and I don't need a microphone.
This is the legendary Humble and Fred Show, Canada's national morning show.
You are now about to witness the strength of street knowledge.
The following episode of Humble and Fred Radio is brought to you by FYI Music News, The Retirement Sherpa, Gig Sky, The Chambers Plan, Strain Print, Freedom Construction, Ringside MD, Clear Air Solutions, and our newest sponsor, CDN Technologies. If you'd like to talk to Humble and Fred, call 1-833-437-8465. That's 1-833-HF-STINK. And now from the Humble and Fred Queensway National Broadcast Center, here are Humble and Fred.
I want it.
When Phil's doing his intro on our television channel, all you see is Phil. And then when he says Humble and Fred, we magically appear.
He's into some switching now.
He's doing switching on Twitch.
He's a television producer.
I like those glasses on you.
How are these ones different, my friend?
Oh, they're way different.
Oh, these are the rounder ones as opposed to the other ones, yes.
Yeah, those are. That's a good look for you. You should keep that. Keep it right now.
Well, 99% of the time, that's it, because the ones that were here were just ones that I didn't wear a lot, and I just left here. You know what I mean?
These give you kind of a, I don't know, like a real, it's a real combo look for me, for you.
What do you mean combo?
It's a combo look. What I'm getting from you is warm, grandfather, but also book editor.
Mm. Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting grandpa book editor. But yeah, it's warm, it's intellectual at the same time. That's what I say. For me, for you.
All right. See, when you say combo, I just think of Big Mac fries and a drink. Now you got me hungry.
Nah, you know what? I know you're just doing a funny bit. You know, I'm here trying
I don't think that.
I'm trying to make...
Wasn't that funny?
Yeah. I'm here trying to give you an assessment, a compliment.
Mm-hmm.
You don't like those.
A stylish opinion.
Thank you, Phil.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I know what I'm talking about. Look at me. Sure, I wear the same thing every day. I do. Mm-hmm. The same stupid crap every day. Anyway.
How's your gut?
What's going on down there? It's still there, man. Don't change the subject, Grandpa Book Editor. No, I thank you for asking. I'm fine. I don't want to...
No, today.
Like, you get tired of it. I talked to my older brother yesterday. Mm-hmm. I hadn't spoken to him in a week or so, and he didn't know about my crisis, my near-death experience. And he said to me, how you been? I said, well, I've had some health issues, but I said, I'm honestly bored of talking about it. So just I said to him, just know this, I'm okay.
Well, this morning we got an update. Now you can't eat peanuts.
Right. Oh, yeah, it was quite an update. Oh, it's terrible. I didn't mean to...
Oh, now I can't eat peanuts.
Now we're on a diet.
And I said, why can't you eat peanuts? Well, the other day I needed something to eat. I had a bag of peanuts and it didn't feel right.
My stomach.
So I'm not eating peanuts anymore.
That's a drag, man.
I know.
Now I'm that guy. That's what I said to Rach on the weekend. I said, oh, great. Now I'm the guy that can't eat things. You know, all my life I've been proud of the fact there's nothing I won't, you know, nothing, no food bothers me. And now I'm a guy with a weak stomach for some foods. Great.
You know, there's different levels of that because I've known for years there's certain things I can't eat, but I eat them anyway. Every so often.
No,
and then I get all the warning systems go up and then I back off for a while.
Anyway, welcome to the show, everyone. Thanks for your concern. 1-833-437-8465. Yes, you're right. I was wearing my Gig Sky t-shirt yesterday. Someone on Twitch has already pointed out I'm not wearing the same thing. I know. Today I'm having a heart monitor put on me.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to cancel it. But, you know, I really haven't had a full body workup in a while. I mean, I have my physical every year. My physical's this Friday. So I thought, you know, I've had an ultrasound now. I've had a lot of blood work.
I can't eat peanuts.
I had a cardio. What did I have last week? I had that stress test. I had an echocardiogram, which is like an ultrasound for your heart. And everything seems to be fine. And I just thought, all right, I'll just so... Because part of it, I thought, to amuse you, to be honest with you. I just thought when I came in here tomorrow morning, I've got this monitor beeping around my neck for the entire show.
Beeping?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
That's what I got to find out. What if I'm like this guy, 24-hour beeping guy?
No, I think I just think it beeps if there's something wrong.
Right.
So, like, if you have a murmur every so often, it'll go, whatever.
Yeah. You think the engineers have put this together and decided that, I don't know, what sound should we use if there's a murmur? I know, the Three Stooges.
His heart's skipping a beat.
Oh, submarine.
Yeah, I've worn a blood pressure monitor before.
What, for 24 hours?
Yeah, just to... And last time, you know, prior to my surgery and stuff like that, and they're interesting because, like, every 15 minutes,
here's what it looks like. I got to wear that.
Like a medical iPod.
Yeah. I got to wear that.
Well, that looks like fun.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
When are you wearing that?
I got to leave after the show. They're going to put it on me.
And it's just on 24 hours?
Yeah.
So it'll be off before a ladies' night tomorrow? Okay. Are you still doing that?
No, I'm going to have it off. Like, I get it on tomorrow morning at, like, I'm sorry, this morning at 10. I get it off tomorrow morning at 10.
Right.
It's called a Holter monitor. And electrodes are attached to your chest. Wires attach the electrodes to a small portable recording device.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third part of these instructions, go about daily activities.
Mm-hmm.
So I will.
On Twitch this morning, is that toothpaste on Howard's bottom lip showing up?
Okay. Do I have toothpaste on my lip?
Yeah.
Or is it? Yeah, right there.
Yeah. Is that showing up on Twitch?
Here, let's see.
Barely.
Hey. You want a close-up of that, kids? Here.
Someone's got glasses.
Mm-hmm.
Can you see it? Mm-hmm. Or is it still there?
A little dab of Sensodyne.
Is it gone?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Okay.
It's like a micro soul patch.
That's very funny, Phil.
Phil can be funny.
Oh, he can. Speaking of funny, Dan Duran, the weatherman, joins us in a few minutes' time to set your day. We're thrilled we picked up this guy, a friend of ours. One of our best friends from television. Checks TV, whatever, decided to move on in a different direction, and we snapped up Dan Duran, the weatherman, and he'll be doing his full forecast today.
Yeah. I just thought over the years, you know, compare it sports, the sports analogies and what have you. How many times over the years a team has disposed of a player, say, on the waiver wire, and then he was picked up and then helped that team win the Stanley Cup? There's many, many cases of that, Howard, over the years.
Oh, absolutely.
That one player, that one team didn't want, ends up to be instrumental and vital to another.
Well, and the thing is, you never know. And a lot of times teams, you know, for instance, Dan used to be on our team many years ago when we were all rookies in this league. Dan Duran went on his different path.
After suffering several concussions.
Oh, man, that's great. Yeah, if we'd known about the concussion protocol back in those days, the number of times Dan beamed himself, falling over in a chair. Anyway, here's one of those situations where a player comes back to a team that he was once a star on, and we get him again. Still got some good years left in him.
Oh, are you kidding? Yeah, several.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he brings, as you say, he brings a wealth of experience, and he can help the young players on the squad, too, right?
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. He's great in the room.
Mm-hmm. Great in the room.
He's great.
Humiliating in the shower. Oh, okay. We weren't going to go there.
You did it 2 days in a row.
I can't stop.
You know, don't we have other things to offer?
Not me.
Yeah, you do.
You know my depth.
I was going to really try hard not to make this all about Dan Duran's.
All right.
Let's, you know, that's man issue.
Shower accessory.
You know, the guy's got a shop vac in his pants. I don't need to talk about that all the time. I'm more involved.
Dan's sitting up there in Kazan, rolling his eyes right now.
That's what I mean.
Poor guy.
You know, I just thought it would be nice if we could have Dan around on the show without it all always being about...
I agree.
You know, puppetry of the penis.
I agree. See? Yeah. That's not having anything. That's not having anything else to offer, and that's all I can come up with. It's very shallow. I agree.
Last September, from the moment you called me and said, "I've got a glass tube in my urethra,"
it wasn't glass. Jesus,
whatever.
Glass.
What was it?
It was a rubber hose.
Glass. Come on, man.
I was trying to be dramatic.
Got a hose in there.
From that moment, yeah, it's right. Like, he calls me last September. He's like, "Hey, man, I got a hoser in my dinkhole. Like, I don't know what's going to happen, right?"
Got a double.
And he's talking to me on the phone. I could tell he was worried, eh? So I said, "Don't worry, Fred. Everything will be all right." And then from that moment, my point is, from the moment you told me in dramatic fashion, I remember exactly what golf course I was on. For the next few weeks, gusting into months till you had your terp, I know you, and you're similar to me. I just get fatigued talking about it. I don't want to be... I even said that to one of my daughters. I said, I just don't want to become... This is what... it's only been a week and a half of having this issue. I don't want it to become a big thing all the time, you know? Which is one of the reasons I was going to cancel this monitor thing, except for the fact that I thought it might be fun for the show. Because I feel fine.
You know what that taught me last year? Is that how few of my friends listen to this show.
Really?
Because I really didn't tell any of my friends. Like, up north at the trailer, I never told anyone that I was walking around with a catheter. Yet we decided on the show that it might be good content for several reasons. Could be funny, but good information for men our age, given our demographic and everything. But it was amazing. So I would go back amongst friends, and none of them had mentioned it. Like, oh, I heard that you have that.
No one heard.
No one heard.
Hey, you want to hear? No one heard. So our producer, Amanda Barker.
Yeah.
I know she's been out of town or in town, but you know, she hasn't heard much of the show either because, you know, I was on death's door.
I know.
I was in emergency. And she's sending us notes about, oh, everybody coming in, blah, blah, blah. Anyway. Yeah, but do you understand when I say, like, when David called me yesterday, I felt fine, and it's over now, and I don't want to, I mentioned peanuts, because we've got so many peanuts this morning, and I realize now there are a few things I'm going to have to, not quit eating forever, but until my stomach repairs a little bit, I'm going to have to be careful.
I was doing some quick math down there, as I do, when it comes to station income and expenses. For some reason, you wanted the salted cashews, and they're just so ridiculously salty.
Yes.
And I asked Phil, I said, if you could, just get the unsalted for me. So now we have two big bottles of salted cashews down there, and you're not going to eat them. What's that, Phil? That's got to be close to $40, isn't it?
That's about 40.
Yeah.
Actually, the salted is cheaper.
The salted, that canister of cashews.
Yeah, they're 20-something each.
It's $20.
$21 for salted, unsalted, $22.
So it's not 40. It's a $21.
Well, it's 40-something.
Per container.
There's two containers.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure people
So now when we have guests in and we offer them something.
Yeah.
We offer them salted cashews.
How many?
Not the unsalted.
Absolutely.
How many cashews do you estimate are in a canister of cashews?
2 kilograms, I think, or 1 kilogram per box.
We'll call it what? 300 cashews?
Yeah.
All right. Here's what we're going to do.
There's more than that.
Okay, let's say 500.
There's hundreds. Maybe 1,000.
No.
Oh, no, easy.
All right.
Let's say there's 1,000.
Okay.
Here's what we'll do. We'll go buy those little baking paper cupcake holders.
Yes.
We'll put 2 or 3 in them,
and
we'll sell them for 16 to 25 cents.
Where?
Here. For 25 cents, a little thing, and that way we'll make it back for you, okay?
It's funny you say that because I thought as another revenue stream.
Yes.
And Sean's looking for work. I thought we could have a lemonade stand out front every day.
A pop-up lemonade stand.
During the hotter weather.
Yeah.
That would have been a great idea in August, July.
And then he can sell the cashews with that.
Exactly.
They go together.
Lemonade and cashew stand, Sean. What do you say?
That's a quality business plan right there.
Yeah, it is. Well, all you need to do is get some of those little baking cupcake paper things. What are those called, Phil? There's got to be a name for those.
I guess they're, what are they? Cupcake
But you know what? You can see them.
Yeah.
I'm making them. Oh, it's almost Dan Duran time.
It's paper cupcake holders.
I am sitting here. I keep thinking of a glass tube. Can you imagine in that splinters?
Oh,
my goodness. They would never do. They would never use a glass tube in that application.
Mm-hmm.
It's a rubber.
Yeah, it makes no sense.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have Dan Duran?
You have Dan Duran, yes.
All right. Hang on a second. Let me...
You got some new music for me?
Well, I don't have any new music.
No,
yet.
I like that music.
He liked the music from yesterday. Mm-hmm. It's literally called The Weather Piano Music. And here we go. It's Dan Duran, Dan Duran time.
It's Dan Duran, Dan Duran time.
It's Dan Duran time.
It's warm.
Hold on,
my heart is warm.
Formerly the co-anchor of E-Talk, a regular cast member of the Deanie Petty Show. Shall I make some more 90s references? Most of you have no idea what I'm talking about.
So what's that one you were on recently where you had your face on the side of the car? What was that called? Firestorm or something?
Crash and Burn.
Oh, Crash and Burn.
Right.
You've seen him on Crash and Burn. You've seen him on Designated Survivor. He has been the television reporter, news anchor, sports reporter, and have you ever actually been a weatherman in a movie?
No, I don't think so. It's possible, but I don't think I have, and never in a movie, yeah.
But he has been a weatherman in real life.
Yeah.
Welcome back to our program, Weatherman Dan Duran.
Woo!
Oh, it's so good. You know, did you realize it was the first day of spring yesterday? We kind of forgot about that.
First day of spring. Was it the first day of spring?
Oh, it's fall. Sorry. I'm in the 90s.
You know what, Phil? Dad, you got us confused with your Australian station.
Hey, how's it going?
That's right. And he's back.
Die.
Yeah.
Yesterday was the first day of spring. That's our weatherman.
Anyway,
oh,
not a big day. Just
you know what? He's already paying for himself.
Yeah. Just a little slip.
It's upside down spring.
Oh, Daddy. Yeah. Anyway, it was the first day of fall.
Yes.
And it was it was somewhat unsettled.
It was variable, absolutely. 3:50 in the morning is when the autumnal equinox happened.
3:15 yesterday morning, you mean, or this morning?
Yeah. No, yesterday morning.
Oh, yesterday morning.
What do you
mean? We were talking about yesterday.
Hey, wait a second. Yeah, are you saying September 23rd at 3:15 a.m.?
3:50 a.m., yes.
3:50 a.m. yesterday.
Yeah. So on September 23rd, isn't that odd? Because usually it's like around the 21st. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But the calendar is not, you know, it's not totally lined up with the, you know, the 21 or 2.5 degrees or something the Earth tilts to, or, you know.
Right.
The whole
thing. I get it. Every so often.
Don't get too technical.
Every so often it needs to be adjusted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't they pause, like, the world time clock, like, a couple of seconds every so often or something?
Yeah, they do, don't they?
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
Are you guys asking Dan?
He's a weatherman, not the time man.
Come on, you guys.
But it's true.
It's not his area of expertise. Sean, what have you chosen to do for Dan on Twitch? Oh, there he is. You've taken a nice... There's a nice shot of Dan Duran. Is that actually... that's a nice picture of Dan.
Is there a bad picture of Dan?
No.
He's got that.
That's a nice picture from the trailer, I think.
I think so.
I can't tell, so I can't comment.
Here's somebody on Twitch who says, "Forgive Dan. His large member sometimes cuts off oxygen from his brain." Come on, you guys. There's more to Dan Duran than his schlong, for God's sake. I'm trying.
Dad, we're sorry.
You know, Fred, have you been listening to the show?
No, I have. I'm not connected to the show at the moment.
Well, he's our friend. Our friends don't listen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Were you aware that I was deathly ill?
I heard about that yesterday, but you really haven't, you're okay now, though, right?
Yeah, I'm fine. Can't eat peanuts for a while.
He can't eat peanuts. You know, they get caught in his polyps and stuff.
in my eroded stomach lining.
It causes inflammation.
Yeah.
And he has to run to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Do you have to limit your, kind of things that you do in any way, like physical activity?
Well, now that spring is here, I've got to be careful. I don't know. I got to be careful for a while. I've just, you know, I've just overdone it. You know, I've just had too many pieces of 7-Eleven chicken and Chinese food for dinner three nights in a row.
What about intimate moments? Has there been any effect whatsoever?
No.
Okay.
No.
Good, good. That's good.
No. That's the first thing so I took
more,
for a test.
It's more about the digestive, the intestinal system.
No, exactly.
As opposed to-
It's so funny, eh? Guys are such pigs. It's like, I know I'm not feeling well, but I'm not feeling terrible. Man, we could probably cobble something together, you know, if you're interested. You know, I know you just heard me talking about diarrhea for 3 days. But how does have a little gummy?
hey, diverticulitis.
So, Dan, what do we have to look forward to? Well, today or the next couple of days?
Well, just it's going to be a little bit more seasonal today and then getting a little bit warmer tomorrow. Going to get up to about 26 degrees. There's possibility of some rain, a little bit of rain on Thursday morning.
Now, you're talking the Golden Horseshoe area of where
that is correct. And in general, Environment Canada came out with their, you know, fall forecast, what they thought it would be like. So they're saying it's generally going to be warmer than normal, but unpredictable.
Okay.
So you may have wider swings of temperature kind of stuff going on. Well, but that's not what the Farmer's Almanac said. It's going to be a little bit cooler this spring.
This spring.
Yeah. Oh, it's going to be cooler next spring?
No, it's this spring now. That just happened yesterday.
The fall's
in the autumn.
Hey, wait a minute. The fall's going to be warmer. The spring's going to be cooler. That trend has been happening for the past couple of years.
No, he got spring confused again.
Oh, I don't think he did. Oh, he did?
Yeah, he did.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I was trying to cover that up.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, but listen, there's most people.
I was trying to do some topics.
Dan Duran, because he was wiener, has an extra season. It's dink season.
Dan.
I'm the eternal optimist is what it is.
Yes, you are.
So spring is an optimistic season.
In your weather training, did you learn about cloud formations like Cirrus Nimbus and all that stuff? Or, like, do you know one cloud from another?
Yeah.
So today, what type of clouds are we going to have?
I'm not actually
just
there, but
up there.
He's not allowed to
probably serious cloud.
Fred, stop it.
Okay, serious.
I took some meteorology in aviation. He's not allowed to talk about the cloud formation just with regular people.
All right. No, I get it.
Yeah.
You have to be a real meteorologist in the deepest sense of the word to, you know, figure out exactly what the cloud's going to look like.
Well, you've only got a few to choose from. You've got your cirrus clouds, which are your high, you know, sort of wispy clouds. You've got your stratus layer, which is an overcast layer.
Oh, you'd learn this in the piloting. Yeah. And there's cumulus, too, right?
Cumulus. Well, the ones you have to be aware of in the summertime, cumulus clouds on their own aren't terrible. That's sort of the high, puffy clouds. But cumulus nimbus, as Dan would tell you, are the ones that look like Marge Simpson's hair. And they start to sort of go up vertically, and those are the clouds that form for thunderstorms.
Those are the ones you have to worry about.
Those are the ones you have to worry about. We don't have those.
Also in the fall, is this not true, Dan? When you were at Czechs Television Peterborough...
Yes.
Did you talk about the UV index? Because sometimes in the fall it can be quite...
Damaging. Yes.
More so in the midsummers when I talked about the UV index. But it's just not like it was high like 8 or 9. It's very high.
Yes.
And today the UV index is going to be 6 or high, but, you know, that's not... It's not like it was in the summer.
Hey, Dan, has your prime minister put on any other makeup since we last spoke with you? Does he have a mission? Like, has he got cork? You know, a lot of times baseball players will put black under their eyes.
Oh, yes,
maybe
yes.
Trudeau could just walk around with those.
Mm-hmm. Could. You know, he did, unusual for a politician, he did ask forgiveness. Politicians usually don't say that.
No, you're right. He did. And that's someone showed him how to do that.
Yeah, I think when they had that meeting saying, it's you in the pictures, we can't deny it, so all you can do is apologize.
That's true. Listen, Dan, I just want to say that was great again today. We love having you on the show.
Right.
And here's a little song for you. It's called You Got a Friend. You always have a friend here on the Humble and Fred Show.
Aww.
And I love the chorus of this song when he says, winter, spring, summer, or spring.
and second winter.
Hey, get your ass down here. Do a live in studio.
Oh, my God.
We'd love
all
that.
Right, okay. All you have to do is come. We'll hang. We'll do an evening in upstairs, and we'll get all monkeyed out and smoke our weed, and then we'll come down here in the morning. It'll be fun.
But no peanuts.
Okay. No peanuts.
No peanuts.
All right, buddy.
Okay. Have a great spring.
What's that?
Have a great spring.
You have a great spring too, Dan. There you go. The autumnal equinox has confused Dan Duran. There you go. That was worth it right there. That's,
yeah.
That Dan's gone. Okay, we'll take a break. We're coming back. Brett Tanner is going to be in here. We're going to be talking about a new wrinkle to the chamber plan as well. Deb Kimmett, one of this country's great comedians. I like Deb because she's sort of a more in our generation. She talks about getting older and dating in your senior years. Anyway, come on back. It's Humble and Fred Radio.
If the sky...
Pleasure to be with you on this beautiful September morn in Ontario. Yeah, you may mock me if I say this, but I think we should be very grateful we live here. It's the greatest province, and we're lucky because not everyone enjoys what we enjoy, which is an extended, you know, season of spring or fall, whatever season we're in now. Tomorrow's going to feel like 30 here today. Tomorrow, I should say, here. And then yesterday, it was almost feels like 30 as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking to David Glassman, older brother. And he's saying, oh, yeah, this will probably be the last time I golf. I'm like, what? What are you talking about?
September.
I know. Because they're looking for snow or some ridiculousness in Alberta.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Look at this place. Look at it. Sun is shining. You know, the leaves are just turning.
And remember, we had nice weather right into November last year.
Absolutely. Yeah, man.
Well into November.
It's funny because he's talking about coming out here at the end of October to golf, and he said, what would I expect? I said, you know, it could be fine.
Yeah.
I said, you know, there's always the chance it could be crap, but maybe we'll get Dan Duran to do a weather modeling for late October.
I think late fall golf, the biggest problem sometimes is leaves on the course.
That's exactly.
Finding your ball.
The leaf rule.
Yeah.
Happened to a friend of mine yesterday. Hit it right down the middle. And just the way the light was, the whole fairway and rough were covered in leaves. And we couldn't find it.
Right. And this time, there's a certain clarity to the sky and the air. It creates a bit of a glare, which makes it even more difficult. Us golfers have noticed that.
Yeah. Monday, Fred and I are going out for a playing lesson.
Mm-hmm.
Just the two of us.
Mm-hmm.
And no video.
Ooh.
But we'll report back. You know, every once in a while, we get listeners asking us to, you know, do things, and we're always happy because without you, there'd be no us, as you know, Phil.
Absolutely.
One of our faithful, I'm not sure if he's a Hundy P. I suspect he is, but his wife's having a birthday, and we're going to surprise her with this call. Are we ready? Is it ringing? Is something happening?
Should be.
We're calling... Rich Gelder's wife, Kathy. She doesn't know we're calling.
Well, maybe she does now if she's listening.
No.
Oh, okay.
She's like our friend. She's not listening either. Are you sure you got the number right?
Hello.
Hi, can we speak to Kathy, please?
Yes, this is Kathy.
Hi, Kathy. It's Howard and Fred calling.
Oh, my gosh. I can't believe this. I'm in shock.
Yes, it's the Hummel and Fred Show giving you your birthday call.
Oh, thank you. Rich, I'm going to kill you later, but I love you guys.
Aw, well, we love you guys.
You're wonderful. We've been listening to you guys for years. Oh, my gosh. I'm in shock. I didn't expect this.
Well, we'd like to say happy birthday. all the best to you for putting up with Rich all these years. That can't be easy.
Oh, it's not. But thank you. I appreciate this. I love you. best, you guys.
Right.
You're the best.
Stan barks a happy birthday to you.
Mm-hmm. and of course, we won't ask your age because you don't do that nowadays, and it doesn't matter.
I say at 29.
Uh-huh. But Rich, you know, he was excited when he made this request, and we were more than happy to do it.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, he loves you too, and he has the greatest respect for you guys.
Really?
Really?
Oh, yes, I know. Yeah. And thanks for putting up with him, because he can be quite obnoxious.
Oh, no, not at all. He's fantastic. Can you go back to the part where people have respect for us and admiration? That's always, we enjoy those kind of conversations.
Maybe we do.
Hey, Kathy.
Yes.
Sincerely, all the happiest of days, and enjoy this one, and all the best to you and Rich, and thanks for being such great supporters of ours. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
All right,
take care.
Bye. Happy birthday,
bye.
Kathy.
Bye-bye.
All right. Well, I see that my buddy Brett Tanner's here. He used to be one of our clients, now he's like our golf buddy. are you ready, or you want to get a coffee? You want to settle down a little bit?
Yeah, whatever works for you guys.
Well, we're ready when you are. So why don't you guys, let me turn those mics off. You guys get them settled. And Fred and I will talk about whatever while we wait for Brett Tanner. And Dr. Hanif Jamal is here as well. This will be interesting. You know, a lot of the times we have these conversations about insurance and the Chamber's plan. And I think a lot, and it's interesting because even now, new people are signing up. You mentioned one of our other clients, former client Michelle Levesque.
Michelle Levesque, LFS.
Yeah. LFS Finance. They've signed up for the Chamber plan. You see that note I sent you?
Because it
yeah, it's cool. But every once in a while, there's something new in the world of insurance and the Chamber plan. And we thought we would bring in Brett. And he's brought in his own guest now. Brett's got his own talk show here, which is kind of cool.
I'm just, you know, moving things along.
I love it, man. Welcome back to the program from Tanner Financial. Here's Brett Tanner, everybody. Along with, and your guest this morning is?
Dr. Hanif Jamal.
How are you guys?
How are you, sir?
Nice to meet you guys.
Hanif's the National Director for Teladoc. He's a practicing family physician in Oakville for 15 years and currently a board member in Holt Healthcare. Mm-hmm. And we're proud to announce that, you know, live on September 1, the Chamber Plan added Teladoc to its program for extended health. So all firms that have extended healthcare with the Chamber Plan now get Teladoc as one of their features at no additional cost.
Well, you know, we've heard of some of these kind of programs before, Doctor, and just give us a little overview. And I also want to talk about the fact that this isn't going to cost you any more money if you're already a Chamber Plan member. But let's start with you, sir.
Yes. I'm super excited about this. We just launched September 1st, 2019, and Teladoc, which is the company that I work for, is a global leader in virtual care. I've been doing it for a very long time. We're in, I think, 120 countries, 30 languages. I think last year we did around 2 million virtual care visits. So very excited. Been in Canada for 20 years through Best Doctors Expert Medical Opinion.
Yes, I've heard of them.
Which I've used that.
Yeah.
It was fantastic.
Oh, beautiful. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I'm really excited to launch. You know, I think a good example to use is I think Howard had an endoscopy a couple days ago.
I did. It was
great. Saturday.
It was one of the great experiences. As a physician myself, Doctor, I was a little unsure of how the sedation would work, but when I found out they were going to put me out, it was the greatest experience.
Yeah. Well, and so I thought we'd use that as a good example.
Yes, let's.
And so you had your endoscopy on Saturday.
Yep.
You went home, for example, and you started feeling that you have a sore throat.
I had a little sore throat.
I heard the show yesterday.
Attaboy.
And so you had a sore throat. Now, I would just say that sore throat happened at 4 o'clock in the morning. Weren't sure what it is, kind of worried, kind of concerned. You're not going to get a hold of your gastroenterologist at that time, so you hop onto the telemedicine service. What you do is you go on, you sign up your information, you kind of do a little bit of background history of what your past medical history is, the medications that you're on, and then you get into the queue. We have around a one-hour wait time, but oftentimes it's a lot shorter than that. So the doctor will then call you back in your method of choice, whether it's a telephone or a video conference. And then you're on the phone with the doctor. And these doctors are Canadian-trained, Canadian-certified physicians.
That's amazing.
And so you'll get a family doctor. Oftentimes these physicians are emergency room doctors that are family medicine trained, and so you have that doctor on the line. And you're able to ask your question. So in your situation, you might say, you know, I just had an endoscopy. Everything went well. The doctor said everything was fine, I think. And I'm just feeling that my throat is really sore. You know, the doctor will go through, you know, a questionnaire. And after that's done, they may tell you, you know what, this is okay. This is normal. You had, you know, the procedure and something was down your esophagus. And it'll be fine. Alternatively, they may say, hey, are you coughing up blood? Are you feeling that you're feeling choking? Did they give you a new medication that may have been an allergic reaction? And you can go down that care path.
And at that point, the doctor will either say everything's cool or you should go to emergency.
Yeah, or they may say, you know what, you need need a medication.
Right.
And they would be able to prescribe that for you as well, which is really convenient.
So they just literally email the prescription?
Yeah, they PDF the prescription to your local pharmacy, or they can send it to you yourself, and then you can take it to where you're
going. Isn't that amazing?
You know what I love about this? Even if it was an hour wait, if that hour wait is in the comfort of your home and not an office or an emergency room,
yeah.
I mean, that's gold, man.
Well, it's like home court advantage, right?
Yeah, exactly.
You're in your own home.
Well, I was going to say, you know, this is such a great service for those of us that don't have access to, you know, friends that are doctors or a physician on call, because, you know, I'm lucky. I have some friends that are doctors. And even before I had the endoscopy, you know, I was talking to a friend of mine saying, oh, here are my symptoms. What do you think? And not everyone has that. But this gives everyone that opportunity with Teladoc. And as I said, you know, what's great about this, Brett, is that it's not an add-on. It's not an extra charge to the Chambers plan.
That's right. And what's really kind of interesting is if you look at it from the small business perspective, the absenteeism, so somebody's got a kid that's got the flu, they got to go to a walk-in clinic and kill half a day. So, you know, and, you know, this way they could probably do the consult from the comfort of their own home. They can keep their kid in bed. They can go pick up the prescription. You know, they're probably not going to miss the same amount of time at work. So it's pretty important, I think. And you know, it's great, too, in remote communities for additional access points where they're driving 5 hours to get to a physician.
And the video aspect of it, so literally I could show the doctor a rash.
Correct.
So to speak. And
oh, they'd love that.
No, and then... No,
they love it. They love when you go on rash.
Freddie,
rash.
I can speak to that.
All right. You got a rash.
I do not, but, you know... It's
okay. We all have rashes.
We're all moving away from him right now.
Yeah. Well, not today, anyway.
All right.
You know, actually, one of our staff members had a rash, took a picture, sent it through the Teladoc app, through their My Benefits on the Chamber plan. Got a call within 10 minutes from a doctor. They put the prescription over to the corner pharmacy. She picked it up on Friday, got it looked after right away. It was shingles, so the doctor could tell you how important that was to get that early.
Is it the first 48 or 72?
72, but it's absolutely critical you get the correct diagnosis and you get on that right away.
Immediately, right.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you bring that up because I had a small bout of it last year, and luckily I got to the doctor on time, but this would be brilliant for something like that.
Oh, exactly.
You're right on top of it.
And also what Brett was talking about, people losing time going to walk-in clinics. And listen, I was also very lucky. I got into emergency. I was there, you know, for many hours, but still pretty quick. But if that had happened during the week, you know, people having to take time away from work, this way you can kind of get a doctor to give you an initial consult before you maybe move on to the walk-in clinic or emergency.
Well, also what you can do is while you're at work, you can schedule an appointment in an hour or two when you're on your lunch break or what have you, and you're able to resolve the issue at your desk. And I think that's really exciting about the program. So it's not just about absenteeism, but presenteeism.
And of course, this idea that, you know, what's great about the Chamber plan for small businesses like ours is that there's not only these type of services, but encompassing HR and employee benefits. It's becoming sort of all-inclusive to make the employee experience better for them, and it gives a small business a chance to offer these type of things to an employee.
For sure, and you know, from the employer perspective, you know, having this and The Chamber plan is the first one to add a virtual care program to their benefit plan. So I think it's really kind of leading edge sort of stuff. But you think about it from the business perspective, being able to get their HR resources, their employees looked after or through virtual care. And I can tell you the registration is very simple. I mean, I was able to do it. So, mm-hmm.
I know.
You go through the My Benefits app and it just Teladoc recognizes you and away you go. So once you're already on the Chamber plan, the registration takes about 10 minutes. They ask you a couple simple medical history questions like you'd normally fill in if you walked into to a walk-in. And away you go.
What's great about the Chamber plan since we've been involved, it's you're always making it better. Like, it's not static. It's not like you're paying for this and it just lays there. It's just you're always coming up with something
that's how we
innovative
roll.
And forward.
Yeah. Did you just say that's how we roll?
Exactly.
That's how you roll.
I think what's really I just want to make one good point was that what's really exciting.
No, I just love Brett. Every once in a while he says to him, I'm like, did you just say that? And by the way, is that video of us golfing with Brett still up on Twitch? Or have you taken it down?
Hopefully.
Okay, forget that. Go on.
No, I was just going to say that what's really exciting and what is unique about the Teladoc telemedicine program is that it also involves if you're traveling south of the border and going to the states, you're also covered under the Teladoc telemedicine platform.
Well, not only that, if you're a Chamber plan participant like we are, you also have insurance, travel insurance, as part of your plan.
Yeah, absolutely. So the Chamber's got, again, leading-edge coverage in that particular regard. So those under 65 have up to 180 days of out-of-country coverage with no pre-ex. So, again, leading-edge sort of stuff.
Well, it is, because I remember when I worked for the radio station companies, if I was out of the country more than 2 weeks, I had to supplement my coverage under their plans. And this is I couldn't believe it when Rod told me... I was just away for 3 weeks, and I said, do I have to top this up? He says, absolutely not. You're more than covered. So.
I was going to say that if you're golfing in Florida and you just had this procedure done and the doctor told you you have gastritis or hiatus hernia, because I remember that's what they were telling you, and you're there and you're about to golf and you say, my shoulder is sore and I'm thinking of taking some Advil. That's where you could use the service and say, is it safe for me to take Advil at this time? And the answer would be you shouldn't, because it can cause extra issues with your stomach. So you wouldn't be able to have that access. But now, and if you do need a medication, we have a doctor that's certified in Florida to be able to prescribe a prescription for you.
So, since you brought up, is it hiatus or hiatal? Hiatal?
Hiatus.
Is hiatus?
I think so.
Well, whatever it is, since this, I had a regular hernia in the groin.
Yes.
You did too, didn't you?
Yes, I had mine repaired at the Schuldeis Clinic.
So did I. Did you have yours before me or after me?
I think before you.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic.
Well, I'm older.
A lot of groin injuries.
Absolutely. Well, we're very groin friendly. This hiatal hernia, whatever it is, that's not repairable unless it starts to cut the supply off of blood to my stomach, right?
You are correct.
So, because someone asked me, what are you going to do for it? And I'm like, I don't think I'd do anything other than just... First of all, stop taking Toradol.
Correct.
But Toradol wasn't the thing. It was years of anti-inflammatory medication. Because I don't have, I've done some research, and the kind of issue I have, it must have taken years to create these erosions in my stomach.
I think it's multifactorial. I'm going to be billing for you for this, actually.
Wait a second. I'm a doctor, too, so I'm going to bill you back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I think that it's multifactorial. So it's a combination of if you drink alcohol, if you take a lot of anti-inflammatories, and you have the hiatus hernia, it's a combination of those things together that kind of slowly erodes at it.
And I said to Freddie this morning that I don't think I should eat peanuts for a while because they seem to irritate my stomach a little bit.
Interesting. I wasn't aware of that.
Well, I'm telling you that right
there
now.
You go.
Well, this is where
what about cheap?
This is where our practice differs.
Yeah.
I go into the more organic.
Should he be eating cheap fried chicken?
I am not one to speak ill of fried chicken.
Oh, okay. I had a bit of a thing there for a while with 7-Eleven chicken, which horrified people.
And he usually buys it like the next day because it's cheaper.
Yeah.
These are not good things to tell the doctor.
Well, listen.
By then it's month old.
Considering what we're making here, all I can afford is day-old 7-Eleven chicken. Dr. Hanif Jamal and Brett Tanner are here from Chamber Plan talking about Teladoc. And it really is, seriously... a lot of people, and again, we've had people sign up constantly for the Chamber plan. And as Freddie said, there's always something new. And if you're a small business, You know, we've talked for a while now about the affordability for a business, whether you're a couple of employees up to 100 employees. What an opportunity to give your company and your employees the benefits. They you know, you wouldn't imagine. And the other thing about this plan is it doesn't go up all the time. It's stable. It's pooled. And that's why it's so great for small businesses as a benefit for everyone.
Yeah, we're just going through a record year in terms of retention. So obviously, firms are happy with their program. Very, very low inflation again this year on our renewal was low single digit, actually just over 2% provincially. So compared to industry average, 8 to 10%. It's a great spot for those businesses to be in. They can predict what their budget's going to be next year.
Well, great having you in. And Dr. Jamal, thank you very much for this this information and for consulting with me.
Yes.
Yeah, it's funny how when you have something like I just went through, all the symptoms are very similar to other things. It's not, you know, diagnosis, that's got to be a very interesting aspect of being a physician, only because a lot of it's just detective work, isn't it?
Well, yes. And, you know, the job is evolving into dispelling the Google myths.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was just going to say that. If nothing else, if you're a member of this, you can get away from Dr. Google, which is very good.
Yes, exactly. And I think that sometimes, you know, I appreciate patients being educated and coming with questions.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Because it actually raises, you know, raises the bar and I have to be better. But that's where that's what it's evolving into. We have to realize that patients have access to information.
Mm-hmm.
But anxiety, fear, worry is something that happens when you look too deep into the dark internet.
Well, Fred's right. Like, what a great thing to, if you have Teladoc, that way you can go and have that conversation before you start going to WebMD and thinking, because every symptom is cancer.
Yeah.
So the reason
the deep hole of self-diagnosis.
Well,
absolutely.
Well, I'll tell you, we have a 92% resolution rate on the first call.
Wow.
Which is exciting.
Well, I laughed when you said about patients being, you know, too educated, because when I went to the hospital the first night and I finally got to see a doctor, she said to me, who told you? Because I said, well, it's obviously a gallbladder attack. She goes, who told you that? I went, well, I did, really.
Yeah.
I said, I'm basically me. Yeah. I'm making that judgment. And she's like, just give me a second. Let me have a look at it, Mr. Glassman.
Yeah.
And it turned out not to be.
Or conversely, if you have the early signs of shingles, a lot of people would go, no, I don't have shingles, and maybe not do anything about it. They deny it.
Yes.
So that's another angle to this.
Well,
you know? Get on it.
Well, I think it's important to say, can I wait till the morning? Can I wait till I see my primary care physician? Or do I need to do something right now?
Exactly.
Bingo. And I think there was a lot of great conversation, but that alone, that peace of mind, knowing that, you know what I've got, and in your case, that was so great that you went and found out right away and got that medication, but not everyone would do that.
Yeah.
And that one, just that first encounter with a physician saying, listen, I've got something, and this is what it feels like, it's nerve endings, and then you go, oh, go and get this stuff now. Great meeting you. Well, I hope we have a chance to have you back in.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, it was
love
fun.
To.
Thanks for listening yesterday. That's that never happens.
Just one quick, you know, because we're getting into that season again, the shingle season. If you've had shingles, do you still have to be worried about it? Can you still have the shots going forward? That seems to be a big question.
So you should be worried in the sense that it could happen again. The chances are lower.
Yes.
In terms of the vaccine, if you've just had shingles, I think you have to wait about a year to get the shingles vaccine.
Okay.
After that.
Right. All right. Well, thanks for coming in, Brett. It's great seeing you. It was just a while ago, and we had our little golf thing. That was good. You were. How's the health of your? Maybe we should have something like Teladoc for golf swings, where, you know, we'll call it Telepro. Where you're on the golf course and you're struggling, you just call a pro, and he goes, "Oh, let me look at your swing. I see what you're doing."
Yeah, my golf swing's still schizophrenic. The only medicine seems to be beer.
That's right. But I prescribe you two beers at the halfway and a sandwich.
and then it's a better back nine.
Absolutely. What do they call that? Liquid swing or something?
Swing lube.
Swing lube. That's it. Mm-hmm. Listen, great seeing you guys. Dr. Jamal and Brett Tanner, everyone. Teladoc, go get it. Go
Thanks,
get
guys.
That stuff. Teladoc. Man, I love this stuff. We're going to take a break here in a second. Deborah Kimmett in the next. We're going to take about 15 minutes before Deb, okay?
Yep.
That's great. Amanda Barker came back. I haven't seen a Barker since before my near-death experience.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even think she knew I was on death's door.
You got a hern.
Oh, I got a lot of stuff going on, my friend. Listen, we'll take a quick break. Amanda Barker is going to bring her sunshine to this place. Look at her dancing around like a supermodel. Okay, it's Humble and Fred Radio. We're live on Canada's Comedy Superstation and a bunch of Bell properties as well. Happy to be part of this company as always. And, of course, you can get past episodes at humbleandfredradio.com.
I just can't wait until tomorrow comes. So if you'd care to see my face again.
Welcome back. Phil, I got to need you to do Gig Sky. There she is. Hi, Deb. I know Deborah Kimmett. It's been a long time since I've seen Deb. I'm trying to remember the last time it was. Was it the Debaters? Yes. Deborah Kimmett and I did the Debaters together in Regina. My debate was against Judy Croon, and it was about Valentine's Day.
Amazing.
Yeah, and we tied. All I've ever done is tie or lose in that stupid show.
They allow sister kisses in
there? Yeah, I know. It's, oh. Yeah, the whole debate was, is Valentine's Day overblown or whatever? And I was arguing
well,
of course
it is.
Yeah, but I was arguing that...
it's not?
I can't. I think all I remember is one joke.
That would be tough.
One joke I had was, you don't want to be the person... When your girl or guy says, don't do anything for me for Valentine's Day, they're lying. They don't be that person that doesn't show up with something.
That's a good bet.
Deborah Kimmett's going to be with us here in a second. Phil, why don't we get Deborah comfortable? And it's going to be great. She's at Accent Toronto at Danforth Music Hall October 9th. And her new show, Downward Facing Broad, will be released on the same day. You're going to love talking to this woman. Anyway, in the meantime, let's talk a little bit about the retirement Sherpa, Fred.
He'll be in tomorrow, and did you know that it is Life Insurance Awareness Month? Tim Niblett is a...
portfolio manager at Raymond James, and Raymond James is a member of the Canadian Investment Protection Fund.
What's the matter with... I nailed that last week.
Yeah, to the letter.
Humble anyway. And Fred, 30th.
Life Insurance Awareness Month.
Yes.
He's going to talk about a few things tomorrow. Do you have enough coverage? Is it term or whole life insurance? Maybe universal life? How do you prioritize insurance or investments first? How do you handle your renewals? All those things that you need to know if you're in a position where you need life insurance. Tim Niblett is the guy, retirementsherpa.ca. He's got all the answers, and he's got great advice. So if you need a guy, he's the guy. Retirementsherpa.ca, Tim Niblett. He'll be in tomorrow.
Phil,
yes,
there's some great new news from GigSky.
GigSky always amazes me when it comes to their new services, and GigSky is now supporting the brand new iPhone 11s with the eSIM services. You know, there's a new iPhone out there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so the same plans are also available for the XS, XS Max, and XR. And of course, the world plan, the regional plans, and the daily plans suit your needs no matter what kind of travel you've got. And coming soon, there's even more devices that will be supported, including Google Pixel eSIMs and Windows devices with an eSIM installed. This is so fun to be able to talk about technology and to be able to travel in different countries with GigSky. Check out humbleandfredradio.com because we have a GigSky page with specials for you.
Nice work. Mm-hmm. Where have you been?
Oh, my God. Last week was nuts. I got stuck in Atlanta. I was in Arkansas, and then I was in Nebraska.
You were doing that Arkansas with Marco for fun, though, right?
Arkansas was a stopover because we've never been to Arkansas.
Right. I know you told me that before you left.
Yeah. So we did. We flew in the Friday. We flew out the Saturday night. It was just a short sort of jaunt. Had a nice dinner kind of thing.
In what town in Arkansas?
Little Rock.
Little Rock, right.
Yeah.
But didn't I tell you, because I told you.
It is nice.
It is very nice. Very sweet.
Small, but nice.
That's Bill Clinton territory.
Yeah. It is but all Freddie,
we,
Bill
we were talking before she left. I said, when I was in Arkansas and I went to Little Rock and a couple other places, in every town you go to or pass through, it says the same thing.
Yeah.
The home of Bill Clinton.
Yeah.
This is where Bill Clinton had dinner. This
yeah.
is
he did.
Arkansas. And all the signs say he did not have sex with that girl, right?
That's you know
right.
what? Yeah. I'll tell
not
you
in this
something.
Town.
So I went to the Clinton Presidential Library, and Markle made a joke, of course, as we went in. I can't wait to see the Lewinsky wing. But they actually do. They very much talk about it in the museum that is Clinton. And they talk about, what was, not Comey. What was his name, the guy that was after him? Ken Starr.
Ken Starr.
A lot
right.
about Ken
yeah.
Starr.
Well, they have to because
obviously
he
has a slant. But
because he was impeached.
Well, he wasn't. That's the thing. He was, they never actually impeached him. That's what I thought, too. I always thought, oh, he was impeached. He wasn't.
He was censured.
He was, they got everything together and went through the whole trial and
right.
all that. But they voted, even the Republicans mostly
yeah,
voted
right.
not
they voted
not
to censure not impeached.
Yeah, which I would have said the exact same thing.
Yeah.
In fact, I have said that probably
I have
in this program.
Now.
I forget. What does it border Tennessee? Once I was in Tennessee and the Arkansas border was right there, so I drove across.
It does
and back.
On one side, but I'll tell you something. It was a lot more Texas than I think I realized.
Well,
I was thinking it was, I was thinking it would be more sort of Georgia,
right.
more Carolinas, but actually it's a lot more Texan. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of beef and a lot of barbecue,
right.
which was great. And, yeah, no, Arkansas was great. And then we went to Omaha, which I've now is my third trip to Omaha, which is a great city. But, you know, once again, we did the active shooter drill in the morning. And I know we've talked
you
about
did?
That. Yeah, they have to do it every single day.
Where?
In their office.
Oh.
Every single morning.
So
they
you,
go through, but
wait,
safety,
wait,
that
whoa,
company
whoa.
Is all about safety.
Yeah,
so.
Hang on a second. So you guys were doing some work, one of the things you do for training?
Yes.
So you
yeah.
went to an office.
Yes.
And that
we
office.
We work with a big company.
A big
Omaha.
Company.
Yeah.
They do an active shooter drill every day?
Every single morning. Every single morning.
Yeah,
they also do who is in charge of CPR. They also
okay.
do, like, it, for them, that
yeah,
company
yeah.
is very safety specific. So it's sort of part of the mandate, but the active shooter is a big part of
oh,
it.
So give us an idea quickly. What would that be? What happens during
the drill?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the drill meaning, okay, in the event of an active shooter, what do? We run. Where do we run to? Here are the exit. Here is the exit. Here is the exit. If we cannot run, if those exits are blocked, then we hide. Where do we hide? Okay, there's a table here. There's a table there. Three of us or four of us could get underneath there.
Wow.
And then in the event of we cannot run and we cannot hide, then we fight. And that's who we go down fighting.
You know, just
every morning
when you were in Ireland, I can't remember this. Maybe it happened just before you left, but I just remember you and I having this conversation that Amnesty International.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if that was fake
issued
news or not.
No,
issued,
no, it wasn't.
Issued a warning.
Travel warning, yeah.
Issued a travel warning to the United States of America.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to Amanda, all you need to know about the state of that country is that.
No, we were talking about that before I left, actually. I remember that.
Yeah.
So that's been in place for most of the summer because of the several mass shootings.
I'll tell you that the amnesty has been yeah that active yeah. shooter drill though. I've been going to Omaha now 3 years, and that's been that I 3 years ago I talked
well,
about
one
it because I was
things,
like
Kamala Harris has been sort of famously talking this summer about the children of Americans having to have those active shooter drills every morning. And when we were kids, we were all kids. By the way, Deborah Kimmett's here, everybody.
Hello, Deborah Kimmett.
Hello.
Hello.
You can see her
welcome
on Twitch.
Welcome to our
so
active
might,
shooter
yeah.
drill discussion.
But when we were all kids, it was sort of the tail end. I don't remember it, or do I remember seeing it on TV, but kids going to hiding underneath their desks.
That was right before us.
That was before
like
us.
Like the
yes.
5 years before
yeah.
us.
Yeah. Having to,
yeah.
in case of a nuclear attack,
yeah.
although you were
going to
hide underneath a school desk.
It came close there in the early 60s with the Bay of Pigs thing
yeah.
And the threat with Cuba.
Yeah.
I remember there was talk of us kids.
Yeah.
Having to prepare ourselves.
I'll tell you, there is the parents of Sandy Hook, which is now its own organization, Concerned Parents for of Sandy Hook, put out a commercial that they just put out this week. That is if you want to cry in 30 seconds, look for it. Find that commercial. It is an unbelievably good and well done mm-hmm. because they start it like it looks like a Best Buy or a Staples ad. So it's like, Mom got me my backpack.
Oh yes, I saw it.
Phenomenal.
I yeah. saw it, and they talk about all their back-to-school supplies
yeah, their,
that will help them survive an active shooting.
Yeah, and it escalates as they go until the end. It's, well, I won't give it
yeah.
away.
It's ridiculous.
It's an amazing leap, but they did an amazing job with that spot.
All right. Well, let's move on if we can. Let's turn it to another type of conversation. She's a Toronto-based comedian, actress, and author. Really an interesting character because she's been doing comedy and stand-up and a one-woman show and all of this and continuing to do it over the years. And I'm curious to see how life is for this lady as time marches on for all of us. Please welcome back to our program, Deborah Kim.
Woo! Yeah. Thank you.
Look at her.
Woo!
Yeah, so we had, I think I'd met you prior somewhere in the world, prior to the Debaters, but it's funny, for a long time, the only stand-up or comedy I was doing was the Debaters, but you've been touring and doing comedy all along.
Well, when I was, my whole life I've been doing sketch and improv and then do my one-person shows because, you know, I had to make money, so if you do them a one-person show, you get more money, and then if you call yourself a comedic consultant, you get even more. So I just went into corporate stuff as well. And then when I was about 48, I think I met you around 50, I got asked to do the Winnipeg Comedy Festival, and that started off the Debaters, and I do mostly stand-up now. At 48, I thought I'd start really late.
Yeah, exactly.
But I do a lot of theaters. I don't do clubs. So
What's a comedic consultant?
Well, it's, you know, like I always say, if you go out to a club, it's 28 cents, and then when you get to go to a corporate thing and do comedy, it's, you know, 2,500. So it just, if you call yourself better names, you get more money.
Oh, I get it.
Yeah, like, yeah.
But would you go into a company and do, like, laughter workshops? I know Judy Kroon does a thing like that.
I don't really. I do more like how improv leads to innovation.
I see.
Stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But basically, I'm just the keynote for an hour and funny, and I talk about workplace humor and stress and stuff.
You know, it's interesting. One of the things because I had done stand-up prior to radio, and then I had sort of done corporate stuff, and then I came back to stand-up about 3 years ago. I started doing clubs hardcore, like crazy.
Oh, my
doing
gosh. That's
all these
very
I know,
risky.
It's ridiculous. And I'd be like 30 years older than any comic, 40 years older than the audience. But eventually, I kind of found my... you know, sort of found my equilibrium with it all. What about you? Like,
oh yeah, when I go to, I sometimes get asked to MC like a comedy, what do you call it? Like a contest at someone's place, fundraiser or something, and they're like, "Hello, are you the lady that sells the raffle tickets?" I'm like, "I am a comic," and I'm like, "It's Helen," because I look like I got the linen. I don't look like a comic, right? I basically got a coat that looks like it's from Zimbabwe, and I go to Stratford, so there's just no like I'm a stand-up. Vibe to me, and I can't even get that wrinkled. There's just a lot of wrinkles when you're.
But you know, it doesn't matter when you hit the stage. You know, whether you're our age or whatever, you're 30 years younger. It's are you funny? And
yeah,
are you,
for sure.
Can you make an audience laugh, whether they're 20 or 60?
Yeah, that's where it's fun.
It is different though doing comedy about being this age. I noticed that one of the things on your show, you talk about the horror of the senior discount.
Well, the first time you get it, you're just mortified because I was like, why? What's this 10%? And they're like, we give it here at 54. I'm like, whoa, we're not going over that edge right now. It's the worst club in the world to belong
to. No, I know. I remember the Bay. It was 55, and then we went there quite often. And the first time, it's horrible. But it doesn't take long to turn around, though, and then start looking for it.
Then you start lying. Yeah. They're like, what? They go, well, it's not till 65. Well, I am 65. That's right. What are you going to do, card me?
Well, we've been nailing the theaters now for years. Yeah.
Amanda knows I do this one-act play called I'm Really Old. And when I go to the theater, what I do is I get a senior's discount, and they don't start, you know, it's like I'm 59. I think it starts at 65. When I get the senior ticket, and when I go to hand it to the kid, and they say it's theater 9 over there, I always go the other way, just so they think I'm even older. I'm like, where is it? Like, I'm so old, well, I don't know numbers.
They also don't want to insult you now, which is really funny. Right. Because they'll go, do you qualify for our veteran? Were you in the military? And you're like, you're just trying to get around the age thing here. And then or our special aged people. Yeah. Like, it's hilarious.
You know, the kids at the theater, they don't care.
They don't even
look at the tickets.
They don't care.
Plus, the thing is, you can't stop it. You can't stop time, right? So you might as well just hop on and save.
Yeah. But I've written a whole one-woman show based on I don't want to hop on. So
The show you're doing is called Downward Facing. Broad, and you talk about things like the senior discount, ghosting, which is a phenomenon that people our age I find it horrifying.
Well, they do. And I think, like, for kids, it's like someone didn't text you back after you went for a date. That's ghosting. But for me, it's like you ask for help at Loblaws and you're like, hello, and you know, and they're like, there's a sound. It's a little fly buzzing around my head. I'm not sure where that sound's coming from. But it does work for you because you can get extra samples at Costco because they can't even see you. They're like, where did all the little pieces of sausage go? There was an old woman by, and I didn't. They can't tell us apart.
Really. For me, it's the hardest ghosting is when I get ghosted by my youngest daughter. It's like she won't text me back if I have a question, but if she has a question, she wants answers right away.
Yeah, yeah.
And
then
where are you?
Yeah, and then they also everything you say, like you're afraid you're going to get fired as a parent, so you're like my parents didn't care that I didn't speak to them. They had six kids. They're like, good. There's one less demand. But I'm like, I've developed this like neurotic little laugh after everything I say. I'm like, oh, you're vaping. Like, you know, I have this little weird laugh because I want to cover up, and it's like a compliment, an insult, and then another compliment.
The sandwich,
the shit sandwich.
Yeah.
So I'm like,
we can't say that on this. We can't swear. It's okay.
The poopy sandwich.
Poopy sandwich. Sorry, I didn't.
Shit's Creek.
Yes. Oh, yeah, that's what I meant.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I kind of say, oh, that shirt, well, couldn't they get one that fit? And then I go, ha, 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 and then, oh, I love it. You look so good. Awesome. Awesome.
That's exactly. I'm. It's funny. I have two kids. One I'm not afraid of. And honestly, you know, the younger one, it depends on the mood. Like, I went and saw her last week, and I wasn't feeling well, but she was feeling worse, apparently.
Oh, was she?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm always a little bit nervous around her. I don't remember ever being nervous around, you know, my dad was not nervous around me.
No, they didn't seem to care.
They didn't give a crap what I thought.
No.
The socio-political state of the world.
Well, the other thing is everything you say is wrong. Oh, so, like, you're talking and all of a sudden something you've said, and I think I'm the most liberal snowflake there is, and yet I've said something and they're like, you're othering her. And I'm like, well, you're othering me. I'm a mother. Mother's got other in it, and that's what you're doing.
Isn't it interesting how that dynamic has changed, though? That's true. Like, my dad was never nervous around me.
Yeah.
But now, if we consider so much about our kids and around our kids, that it's just
weird.
We
raise them democratically.
Yeah.
Like everything matters.
It's our own fault. Because we were going to be different parents. We were
going to watch it.
We were going to be, you know, we're going to try a different method. And it was all about empowering and all this stuff. And then I created this little 21-year-old monster that I'm afraid of sometimes. Honestly. And if I don't answer her right away, I'm like, what does she think?
Well, my kids are 30, and they actually are really nice to me, but I'm suspicious, right? Because they're so always so nice. They're like, oh, no, we love you. We think you were a good parent. I'm like, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Have you gone to therapy? And, but my kids are kinder than I was at that age. By 30, my kids are very kind to me and my age and everything, and I just find it so unnerving. And I don't know, it's something, because they're democratic.
I'm not having that experience.
Well, you'll have it
in
when they're soft spot in their brains.
Yeah, but that'll change.
Yeah, it does. By 30, they're really nice. In fact, you're so excited if you live alone when your kids have, like, a crisis. My daughter hit her head yesterday, and I'm like, oh, no, I'll come. She goes, well, you don't have to. No, that's good. Because I'm really not working. I'm just planning when I can start watching Netflix. So,
no, I know it's not the best.
Yeah.
We were talking about that yesterday.
Like, you're drinking. You 5 o'clock? Is that suitable?
Yeah, when can I start binge-watching Sherlock again?
Well, I think that's what has made winters a lot easier now. Lousy weather.
Well, so much less.
It gives you an excuse. Used to sit in front of the TV.
100%. Yeah. I'm so with you on that. Like, when it rains in the summer, I'm like, oh,
great.
Netflix.
Right.
Netflix.
Because when it's not raining, you think, should I be here for 10 hours on Peaky Blinders or whatever I'm going to be watching? He told me about a show. He says, you're going to like it. I'm like, so I quickly went and looked at it. 4 seasons. I could do that.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, you get stressed, though. You're like, I got to work.
Is it British? And then you have even less.
Yeah.
If it's four seasons British, then you're really only committing to like 10 episodes.
Well, yeah, because they'll do like a 3 or 4 episode season.
Boom, there's your season.
Deborah Kimmett's here. Her new show is called Downward Facing Broad, and there's all sorts of there's something for everyone. September 29th at John Candy Box Theater, only a few tickets left for that. And she's touring around. What about men and dating? I've been seeing somebody now for about almost a couple years. We're both in our 50s, you know, as we met online, as people do.
Well, yeah, I've given that up. I just sort of, you know, just...
But it's hard to meet organically.
Well, I used to say you don't have to go on Tinder. You should just, at my age, just go to Tim Hortons, and the only thing they're swiping left to right is, like, icing sugar. But men are so weird at 60. Like, they don't... They have a... And I'm saying women do, too, but I'm only looking at the men. So you look, and I'm on the beach, and I'm kind of dressed nice and give a big smile to a man. He always has that look on his face where he's like, what? What are you doing? You're looking at me. And it's kind of like too much teeth. They're giving the teeth way too many real estate. Like, oh, my God, there's a woman. So it's really hard at 60 because women look at men and go, yuck. And men look at women and go, yuck. And then we're like, we're lonely, you know? So it's like, it's just this weird thing. So I figure if it happens, it happens.
Do you think men generally around 60, well, or they're looking at younger women, they
absolutely
still think they have this thing where they can attract the 40-year-old or the 45-year-old, where women might be a bit different. They're looking at men their age.
Well, they are, I think, because that's what you've been trained to think.
Yeah.
But the thing is, when a nice-looking 45-year goes by, I look twice. Mm-hmm. I'm not, like, you know,
right.
It's kind of like the art gallery. You're not going to take the art home.
No.
But you like,
and you can't touch the art. You know.
No. Not anymore.
Not anymore.
Wrong. That's wrong thought. But you mean, I think the thing is, there's just something about when you're younger, you want somebody in your life.
But I think what happened to a lot of people our age, you know, in their mid-50s to early 60s, is that, you know, they get out of their first or second marriages, but they get out of marriages, they haven't done dating for a long time.
And it's a very different world.
It's a very different world, and, you know, the last time you had to go on dates was 30 or even 40 years ago, and you know, the landscape had changed so much.
Well, yeah, you go in and, like, there's this thing that you're supposed... Like, if you saw this guy at a party, you'd go, I don't know if I... Maybe I'd go out with him, or he got my number, whatever. But now you go into a scenario with the idea you want to date that person. But it's really just a drive-by meeting. It's like a coffee. And there's a guy, and there's one guy, I remember I dated him, he started telling me about his septic tank.
Mm-hmm.
Like the first date.
Nice.
I'm like, did we get married?
It's a real charm.
Like, did we get married right now? Because I think I left a marriage that this is why it ended.
Interesting.
Yeah.
How that would...
He's got some game.
How that would come up.
Yeah. And then he's like, well, you know. And I went out and I'm like... And then the next, you know, a couple days later, he goes, so what are you wearing? And I'm like, orthotics. Like, I don't know how to flirt at this age, right?
Mm-hmm. I'm wearing corn pads and orthotics.
Just
how
soaking
sexy
my feet.
Is that?
Well, again, it's awkward. We've got a friend. I've been dating somebody for a couple of years, but I was out of it for a couple of years because I got tired of online dating because it's just so bizarre, and you can't meet anybody organically. Again, if you saw somebody that you thought was nice in a coffee shop it's so fraught with, you don't know what to say anymore.
Yeah. Yeah,
how do I approach somebody
people
without sounding
used to it? It's creepy.
Weird
people
Me Too stuff that you might, people get creeped out.
And it goes both ways. It
Deborah.
Goes both ways.
Absolutely both ways. For
it's
sure. It's not one
to
way.
Just go up to someone either way.
You
just can't do it.
And chances are they're probably attached on some level.
Yes.
Like that person you would approach.
Odds are,
if they're nice, you would like them, so they're already involved with somebody because they're nice. Yeah, the killers are online. No, I mean, but it's...
No, exactly. You can get a lot of horrible
the other one is, there's
that
this
are
whole,
still available.
But there's this whole thing, too. Like, if you're married, there's married people, and this might be my age group, but they're acting like, oh, you'll find somebody. I'm like, what the God? What are you talking about? I've given it a good try. Like, 20 years in the troop, 20-year marriage. I did my part.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, there's this part where you just don't, like, friends will say, well, we're going to have a dinner party, but we've only got 8 plates, so we can't invite you. It's a little off, you know, and I'm like, they're like, you know, I'm married to my best friend. I'm like, well, I don't know what you're talking about. I never had a best friend marriage. I know Idaho exists, but, you know, I've never been there is what I'm getting at. So just let me know if a plate breaks, and we'll see.
Let me know. We'd like to have you, but we don't have enough cutlery to accommodate
you. Yeah, but it's uneven, and then you'd feel awkward because you've got nobody. And
So what do you do? Do you just give up?
No. I put on a bra every morning because I figure, you know, that's a first step. No, I just think I meet so many men that I like and I'm friends with and I can be friends with and go out and have coffee with. And I figure if it evolves into something, but I'm not on the hunt. I can't do it. I don't have enough energy. Plus, I'm busy.
Well, you seem busy. What, the Netflix and...
Yeah, the Netflix, the 12 hours of Netflix and
going
then
to Tim Hortons.
My kids' concussions. I mean, that keeps up 14 hours a day.
I'm just before we let you go, I'm just curious. You were tailgating coffee?
Well, yeah, this is my theory about Toronto. Like, I think Toronto doesn't keep up with the fact that it's a big, big city. So they have now at Spadina, down at the X, horses in the middle of traffic. And I tailgated two horses for like 15 minutes, couldn't get past them. Are you allowed to pass a horse?
I don't know.
And so, like this. And everybody's like hollering. And then the horse does a doohy. And does a cop doesn't get down.
No.
And scoop. And I'm just like, are we doing a historical reenactment? Is like, are we at Black Creek Village? They just escaped. Like, why are they in the middle of traffic?
The rain will wash it away.
Yeah.
It's fine.
I just feel Toronto needs to update its idea about the horse.
I know. We're so hung up on the dog poop thing. But the horse is poop.
Yeah, that's
which
why.
Is 10 times as big.
Yeah, which you have to drive through
there. And nobody seems to do anything
cares.
About it.
Yeah. Oh, isn't it nice? They have horses and streetcars.
Oh, yeah.
Look at that. Horses and streakers together.
Let me get my stovetop hat. Deborah Kimmett. Is that what it's called, a stovetop? I don't even
know. Yeah, I think so.
We all know what I'm talking about. Downward Facing Broad is coming to Danforth Music Hall for your second time. And the most immediate chance to see this is at John Candy Box Theater, September 29th. The Danforth show is October 9th. And for tickets and details, go to, I don't know.
Where do you go?
Go to Facebook, go One Funny Lady, Deborah Kimmett.
There you go.
You really are a nice person, aren't you?
Oh, I am, aren't I?
you know what? I have nothing but warm and convivial feelings now.
Well, we survived Regina in the winter.
Yes, we did.
Without Netflix. That was pre-Netflix.
That
maybe.
Was a lot of fun.
I did Regina, Oakville, Vancouver for the debaters.
Yeah.
And then I outgrew my usefulness, being a white male. They wanted no more to do with me.
Well, I've been on it 13 years, and it's fun.
I've been on it four times.
Well, I've been on it 48 times.
I know. Yeah. You know why? Because you're good and I'm horrible.
Unlike Howard, have you ever won?
I win off and on.
Yeah,
I don't count, though. Mm-hmm. People call me and they get really upset when I don't win and they think I should have, but... It's just for fun.
Well, he's been on. I think he should have won a couple of times.
Yeah, he should have.
The fix was in.
Yeah,
the fix
whatever.
Is in. Yeah.
One day, one day there'll be Jewish people in comedy. They're holding us down.
You don't want to start. Slow down.
I know.
Slow down.
Baby steps. listen, kids, let's take a break. Deborah Kimmett, what a pleasure to see you again.
Take care.
All over the area, Southern Ontario is now lucky to have Humble and Fred Radio on Funny 820 and a bunch of Bell stations. And, of course, the most popular downloaded podcast and the most uploaded podcast in Canadian podcast history. Did you know that?
No,
Deborah?
I didn't. That's
whatever.
Amazing.
We're just saying it. It's humbleandfredradio.com. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
And we've only just begun. This will be our year. Took a long time to come.
It's always good having you along with us on the Humble and Fred Show. 1-833-437-8465. If you need to get a hold of us, Humble and Fred at humbleandfredradio.com. If you could find your way to our Facebook page, we're always looking to add to our community. Lots of funny little bits there. Did you put that picture of Justin Trudeau as a baby up yet?
Still waiting for that picture.
I just sent it.
Well, I think you texted me. You should put the email.
Okay. Hey, did you hear about our prime minister? He's in a minstrel show.
I saw.
It's so weird.
I know.
I mean, you could... Okay, once, you still can't understand it, but it's a mistake of youth. Twice?
He doubled down.
When you start putting blackface on three separate times in your life...
Someone was sitting on that photo, man. Someone was like, I got a good one. Just wait.
Yeah, but
just
don't you think
wait.
If another political leader was seen in blackface, someone would put that out there in the world?
And strategically wait until the election.
Yeah, but I don't understand, because why not the first election?
Yeah.
They might not have had it at that point.
Maybe they hadn't uncovered it.
Yeah.
Several yearbooks sitting on shelves all over the country. That's weird. But anyway.
Yeah, we had talked about that. Strategically releasing those pictures, that first one.
Mm-hmm.
Was it the day after the writ, after he called the election?
Mm-hmm. There was like one media outlet who was asked to screen the photos first. So they were literally strategically releasing this.
Little do they know, they're going to get so many more right-wing voters now that they put it out.
That's true.
Yeah, well, it's crazy.
Hey, man. He's like us. work for Trump.
Yeah, that maybe that's the thing. Well, he'll get reelected because all the right wing people will be like, perfect.
Because they're so evil.
Yeah, those evil people too.
We like those evil right wing people.
And now apparently there's video of him singing Mammy, How I Love You, How I Love You, My Dear Old Mammy.
He really doubled
He's
down.
He's embracing it. Anyway, let's talk a little bit about our friends at CDN. Technology.
So are you searching for an IT company because you're dealing with ongoing IT issues? Well, CDN Technologies.com. Contact them because they'll teach you how to avoid being a victim of a devastating ransomware attack, bank fraud, negative PR, or a data breach. CDNTechnologies.com is your outsourced computer company providing IT service, IT support, and IT security to businesses in the Oakville, Mississauga areas, the whole GTA. It's fantastic. And Barb Paluskovich, don't forget, she has a podcast, which is recorded here, and it's available weekly for a lot of great information.
Exactly. And you can, too, by the way. Our boy, Fizbee, he will produce you a nice podcast. Coming in the studio, you get to hang out with the Fizz, and very professional. Mm-hmm. And what are you doing with Strain Print? Hey, are we figured all that Strain Print out stuff for Thursday?
We'll talk.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't care if there's two of them on the phone at the same time.
Great.
I'm fine with that.
Great.
Strain Print, if you're like myself, you know, maybe you're interested in the medical uses for cannabis. Use cannabis better. Why? How? How do you do it?
Absolutely. Track your progress. Ew. Journal your different strains with Strain Print, the companion app that will help you learn how much more rewarding and beneficial your experience can be. Since different strains of marijuana can be processed differently by different people, you'll learn more about how other users will react with certain strains, and you can also track your progress so other people can learn from you as well. Check it out free on the Apple or Google Play Store or strainprint.ca.
Good job, Fizzy. And Sean Sargent's here. Who is that? Mike Morgan?
Should be okay. Probably six.
Oh, there it is, number six. We want to let you know today is the last day for 50% off subs on Twitch TV.
Yes, if you go to Twitch, our channel is twitch.tv/HumbleAndFredRadio. And today is the last day. We've been trying to promote it, but today is the last day that subscriptions are 50% off. And bits, if you donate us bits on Twitch, Subway will throw in 10% of that. So look at that. We just got bits right now because someone was listening to that. Awesome. That's how quick it is. Thank you, Johnny.
You know, I don't want to give this guy today, much time, but he does make me laugh. There's a character on our Twitch feed. I'll tell you what, forget us. You know, it's basically all Twitch is you get to hear or get to see Fred and I doing the show. But there's a lot of great material. Did you see what he wrote there? Yeah. He says, this kid is, I don't know who it is, but he calls himself Me Chiny. Meech Hiney. And he says, "Oh, Amanda, oh, don't you cry for me. You were stuck in Alabama, and my name is Me Chiny." So that's funny. It's like,
you know, speaking of comedy and stand-up and what have you, I wonder how this is going to be handled over the next few weeks. How many comics will touch the blackface thing?
That's a good question.
There's some gold there, but again,
my experience with these kids nowadays, they don't do a lot of current events, man.
No.
Like,
they want
really
evergreen material. They're all working on their...
That's not their thing. I'm actually doing some stand-up starting in a couple weeks again. I'm doing a couple of comedy nights at some theater shows, actually. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking of going doing some sets, and I thought, you know, I want to get in there, you know, so I can still reference it before... Like, I'm going to go on stage before the election, and I got to reference it, like, just to see what the reaction is.
Well, is it safe to say, is it fair to say that maybe that community leans a little to the left, and maybe
absolutely.
They don't want to go there to embarrass their...
Or do they want to go there because they're appalled by it?
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe.
That's been the weird dynamic through this whole thing.
Totally, yeah.
People trying to, you know, that would be horribly against that if it was a conservative, yet trying to make excuses for him on the other side.
I haven't seen that. I've only seen people really upset with him. But most of them are going because they're going NDP. Mm-hmm. That's why.
Yeah.
Like, it's not going to... Liberal, if you're a liberal voter, you're not going over to the conservatives because of this. You'll go NDP.
Yeah.
You might go green.
Yeah.
just also explain, Sean, now that your mic is still live, explain what it means to cheer farts. Someone did awkward farts for 100. Yes. What does that mean, Sean?
You can go on our feed and contribute to the show with sound alerts, and I have put up a bunch of... We used to have just a fart button. Now
we used to
have
a fart.
Multiple farts.
Oh, of course we do. So, can we hear that sound? Is that possible? Or
we got to donate 100 bits.
Yeah, I'm not doing that.
Okay.
it's a faulty
farty. Yeah, Mi Chinee just played an awkward fart. Mm. Perfect timing. Mid-silence. No one was talking. And everybody just heard that online.
Okay, good. Well, see, there's this show, there's the podcast, there's the radio, and we have the TV, and there's a whole community. So please join us.
Community?
Yeah, that, have you watched, we talked about this, I'm not sure if you were back yet, but we talked about the interview that our Prime Minister did with Hasan Minhaj on Patriot Act, which is a show on Netflix.
I think we did talk about
maybe that was before
that,
Freddie.
Yeah.
When he was away.
Yeah.
But
he's bumbling.
He was a bumbling, right, stumbling.
And he's not even, I haven't seen it, but he's not even trying to trap him. He just walks into it, right?
Yeah, he's not. The reason I wanted you to see it, because as an improviser, you're a master improviser. You'll see somebody in a situation where they can't roll. He has no roll ability. Because, you know, even a good politician has a way of sort of, what are they, sort of redirecting conversation and controlling the conversation by certain, he doesn't have that.
No, and Stephen Harper was awkward, but he rolled better than Trudeau. He just did in situations like that. As hard as that is to believe, but I think Harper's smarter than Trudeau. I mean, that's
slicker.
No question there.
No
and
doubt.
Smarter, too, and slicker. But much smarter.
Well, maybe Slicker is he more politically adept.
Mm-hmm. And, older. Like, you know, he had more
time.
Well,
no, he was also a...
Not that much.
Was a career...
He was also a politician.
Yeah, he was a politician.
Yeah.
And there's good and bad with that. Anyway, so that's that. Just a quick thing before I forget. I watched a little bit of a documentary on the life of Clive Davis yesterday on Netflix.
Right. Clive.
And I will tell you, again, it's... I didn't see the whole 2 hours. I watched about a half an hour of it, but it's fascinating. You'll also like that because it's a real look back at the music industry and how he and others like him and Geffen and Jimmy Iovine, how they changed the nature of that business. Again, through a lot of the years we worked in radio.
Was he on was it American Idol that he was a consultant on or one of those shows?
Yeah, Jimmy was,
but not Clive.
Oh,
Clive Davis was originally with Columbia Records and then started Arista. And when he started Arista, in quick succession, he signed Barry Manilow, mock it if you want, but he sold millions. Whitney Houston, he signed Whitney Houston at 19 years old.
Yeah.
Her first two records sold 22 and 23 million copies. Like, he built this business. Anyway, it's fascinating. We were just talking yesterday because Deb brought up binge-watching Netflix and when is it okay in the day to start watching, which is great. It's a great bit. But there's just so much. You know, we were talking yesterday with Bill Brio about the avalanche of great stuff to watch.
Yeah,
I don't know. Like,
it's overwhelming, and we are in the golden age of TV. This is the best TV that we've ever had, honestly. Ever.
I agree.
Delise and I yesterday at about, I guess, 3:30 started watching Peaky Blinders, and we turned it off at like 10:30. And I have this tugging at me when I'm doing that I maybe should be doing something else. Because if I wasn't doing that, I might be dicking around outside or whatever.
Right.
And that's the only thing that concerns me about it. You just get caught up in that. And that's a lot of hours just sitting there, not being active, watching television.
It's interesting because a lot of people will say we don't have the attention span to sit. And meanwhile, it's proving it wrong because we have the attention span to binge, you know?
I kind of equate it, in a weird way, to reading a really good book.
Yeah.
In so much that, you know, I remember when I'd be in the middle of a book, being away from the book, thinking about the characters and what's going on with that person or that relationship. Mm-hmm. And I find myself doing that with series, you know, when I'm not watching and I'll be like, where is this going and what are they up to?
Yeah.
Funny about the book thing, I remember we used to go to all-inclusives back in the 90s, and I'd get a really good book, and I'd sit there all day and read this book.
Yeah.
I'd get into it, and I'd think, wait a minute, I could have done this at home. But here I am down in the Caribbean, and I've just spent all day looking in this book.
I got this guilt thing or something when it comes
really?
To that. Yeah, it's weird.
So if you're reading a book on a vacation on a nice beach,
yeah,
you're thinking,
maybe I should be doing something else.
But
I don't
what
know.
Else does one do? I mean, swim.
I know. Swim, walk,
maybe you should
hike.
Take some time out for some therapy and work through some of these things, because obviously you've got some issues.
A therapy book.
Yeah, read a book about
it's like walking through malls in like Dublin, Ireland. It's sure. Like I could do like this could be the Scarborough Town Center for Christ, you know. So stay out of that. That's all.
Anyway, he's so now I got to maybe watch Peaky Blinders. There's another one I started, this Inside Bill Gates' Brain. I'm halfway through the Clive Davis thing.
I'm in
Mindhunter
now.
Thanks. Mindhunter?
You got me into Mindhunter.
You finished season one?
Yes.
And now you're on to season two?
Yes.
Great, huh?
Just started season two, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
They're all very good.
It's great. It's great.
It is great.
It's really great. I'm really looking forward to seeing how season two kind of unfolds. But Peaky Blinders I couldn't get into.
I said to Howard, I had really struggled with the accents, and Delise can understand them. She helped me through. But after a while of listening to it, it sort of clicks in.
Yeah.
And the longer we watch, the better it got.
So. See, that's the thing, too. It's sometimes you see, like, I watched the pilot for The Grindr, which is on Netflix now.
Yeah.
You got to watch it. If nothing else, watch the first episode. It is so funny. It is.
It's called The Grindr.
Yes. It is.
Okay.
So
now I got to watch that.
I know. That's
and it's
the
only 20.
Thing.
It's only 22 minutes. So it's like watching a comedian in Cars. Like it's 22 minutes. The Grindr, and it's Rob Lowe and Fred Savage, and oh my god, it's funny because Rob Lowe. Just to give you the synopsis, Rob Lowe plays somebody who was an actor. A lawyer on like a Law and Order,
mm-hmm. Right?
And then he comes to his hometown, and everyone loves him. And Fred Savage actually is a lawyer, and so Rob Lowe just inserts himself into, and he does all the mannerisms and all the speech, and it's very funny.
Okay, I'm going to watch that.
Very,
you know,
very funny.
if you're the type that's comfortable on a stationary bike while watching television, there are those people. Wouldn't
that's
that be
true.
Grand?
Yeah, treadmill's a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
Whoops,
that's not me.
I want to thank James Shanahan, because James heard I liked Mindhunter and recommended Carnival Row to me, which
oh,
is
right.
So good. Orlando good. Bloom. Orlando Bloom. He's quite the fine actor. This Bloom kid.
Have you watched Ozark?
I have.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you haven't? Is
yeah.
it good?
Yeah.
That's good
yes.
That's
amazing.
Oh, okay.
And so, apparently it's coming back.
Well, I watched the Emmys. I know you covered this.
So Carnival Row is like Mindhunter, but mm-hmm. set in more of Peaky Blinders time, like
oh.
in an earlier time. He's a detective kind of guy or a constable, and he's trying to solve a murder. So James gave me the heads up about that. Loved it. Saw it's like 9 episodes. Binge watched it. Great. He now recommends something called The Alienist. It's another period police drama set in 1896. Again, around this sort of similar times to the turn. There's a lot of turn of century stuff
well,
going
Boardwalk
on.
Boardwalk Empire
yes.
was.
Yeah.
That was part of the attraction for me, that whole era
yeah.
thing.
Mm-hmm. Where's it all being filmed? That's what I want to know.
All in the Scarborough Bluffs.
Yeah, honestly, everything. Everything. Scarborough Bluffs.
A soundstage in
I
Hamilton.
Shot a Netflix show last week. That's what I was doing.
Did you remember
Scarborough
Bluffs?
Ooh. I did. It's called Ginny in Georgia. And it's kind of like a Gilmore Girls kind of feel. And I don't think I'm speaking out of turn. That's all in the press release. But, yeah, it's a young adult sort of show, Gilmore Girls.
Really?
There is so much shooting right now. I'll tell you, somebody that I know that works in grants and ACTRA and all that said it is the busiest it's ever been in this city because of Netflix.
Do you think that... you know, I should make my triumphant return to episodic television.
I have been saying it for 4 years. Why I don't see you in the casting room, I'll never know.
Well, what was that Netflix commitment to Canada? Was it $500 million over 10 years or whatever that was?
Billion.
So you're starting to feel that.
Yes,
feel it.
Wow. Huge.
Well,
huge.
That's
honestly.
Encouraging.
It is encouraging.
There are probably right now, that I know of, 8 to 10 Netflix shows just shooting this today. Honestly, that I know of, and I'm just an actor. I'm sure there's way more in development.
You're not just an actor.
Well.
Come on. You're a producer. You're a writer. You're a performer.
We're Dan Duran's agent. Is there any parts for newscasters?
I'm sure.
He should be down here.
We signed Dan Duran to do weather.
I heard.
Yeah.
I've been listening.
Dan Duran, the weatherman, 7:15.
I know. I'm worried about Wednesday. We're going to get some rain. I heard.
Well, Dan Duran would know.
Yes, he would.
Anyway, thanks to James. Appreciate the heads up on something called The Alienist. Somebody on Twitch just said that we should put up a Humble and Fred must-watch list on Netflix. I mean, we share a lot of... We could put up a list of...
H&F Picks.
H&F Netflix or Binge Picks. We'll call it Binge Picks and get it sponsored. I don't know.
You're already off.
I'm tired.
That's how short it's gotten. You pitch the thing and you're already over there.
I'm done with it now. Recently I saw, I don't know if you guys have been traveling the highways and or byways of this city, this metropolis we live in. You know, the overhead signs that have messages, you know, 427 closed, those type of
things. VMSs.
Well, yeah. Is
what they're called? Variable message signs.
I'm not sure if this is where I saw that now that I think of it, but I've been seeing this sign lately because the government doesn't know what to do with weed and driving. Mm-hmm. And they just don't know. There's no test yet. They don't know how to handle it. I don't know what cops even do when they pull you over if they suspect. Do you know what they do if they suspect your
It's the same as what they used to do. It's just a swab of inside of your mouth, and they test your the level of THC.
They have a roadside test for that now, Sean?
They always did, but it's kind of now it's legal. It's the old test for all drugs.
Oh, I see. So drugs in your system.
Yeah.
As opposed to THC specific.
Exactly.
I see.
Okay. Well, the government's struggling. And this fall, I think October, they're going to... edibles will now be legal. Concentrates, I think. Well, there's a whole section.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I bring it up about these signs is I've been seeing this... I don't know if you saw the sign that says slightly high is too high. Have you seen that?
I worked on that ad campaign.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because whoever wrote that slightly high is too high has been neither. You know, because
to drive.
Yeah.
To drive.
Yeah, I know, but there is a big difference, as we know, between too high and slightly high. Too high, you know, you might need to be alone.
Yeah.
Slightly high, I could talk to a cop.
The ads are... One of the ads I worked on were, when I'm high, I like to rub my feet in the carpet. Ooh. When I'm slightly high, I just wiggle my toes.
Is that right?
Like this. Yeah.
Because here's the thing. I worked on that.
I heard people say that all day.
Because if you're too high and you see a cop, you might run or start crying.
Oh, why don't you love me?
But I just, every time I see it, I'm like, slightly high is not too high.
Yeah.
Big difference.
Yeah.
The thing is, and I've said this before, they have no language. There's no language around, like if somebody said to you, okay, you had a couple of beers, you got a slight buzz.
Mm.
But you're not drunk, obviously. The thing about marijuana is you're either not stoned or you're stoned. Now, you might just be slightly stoned, because that is a state that we've been in. You can just have a nice, like a two-beer buzz. But you could still drive, because you can drive on two beers.
Right.
The problem with marijuana, and they're going to have to solve this, is there's no sort of accurate way of determining your ability to operate a vehicle after a measurable amount of THC.
No. Well, that's been the ongoing issue right from the get-go. And why a lot of, the police departments across the country were reluctant to see it legalize. Because they're in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
I can definitively stop this guy and nail him for impaired driving. The stoned person or the high person, what do we do? And that's still that gray area.
But I think if it's drugs in the system, then it would be the same thing as if you pop naproxen or whatever.
But there's no roadside for that. There just isn't. No,
yeah, and the thing is,
they can take you somewhere.
And then
the
tests reveal. I see what you're saying.
Yeah, but we have not got to that point. And I know they're working on this, where they can determine the 0.08. Like if you had a couple of beers, I'd have no problem saying, okay, you know, you can still drive. Because your measurable alcohol content is below the legal limit.
They need a blower.
Well, we're working on that.
No.
They're also going to have to determine what is the legal limit for operating your car after you've been, you know, doing your gummies.
And how long do you have to wait, too? Because that could be a thing.
It stays in your system a lot longer.
If you're immune to it or you use it regularly, it's not immune to it.
Well, your tolerance is different.
Yeah, your tolerance is different than Fred's would be or than Phil's would be. And however long you have to wait to drive is all different there.
But that's a really good point.
But that's true with alcohol, too. Two beers on him is different than two beers
that's
on
right.
you.
That's right.
No, but
it measures your blood alcohol content.
Right.
So if I have two beers and you have two beers, we'd be around 0.067.
Not necessarily. Not
in
a bigger
part.
Yes. But there would be a variance there.
The difference, and I think Sean makes a good point, with marijuana, it's not the amount in your system. It's the amount you're able to tolerate.
Right.
The upside to this is I don't think really a lot has changed. That's probably the only thing that is still a big question mark, because I don't think a lot of people became marijuana users just because it was legalized. So I think the same habits are taking place. It's just the legal aspect. How do we deal with it now that it's legal and people in their cars, and it just wasn't an issue before, and now it is. Mm-hmm. And you're right; they got to come to grips with that, or they got to figure that out.
Slightly high is not too high.
In the meantime,
yeah, slightly high is going to a party dressed as a mime. Too high is you're wearing blackface.
Right. There you go. There's your bit.
You like that bit?
Yeah,
I'm working on that
mime.
No, I just, cause,
like, mime is okay.
There's a whole lot of things that are slightly high versus too high.
You did your hands. That's like.
I like that.
It's one thing. Yeah.
Anyway, it's an interesting point about, you know, people's tolerance, being able to handle it. Like, if you had, you know, one puff of a joint, you might be too high to drive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I have one puff of a joint, and I'm talking to a priest, you know, about a drug deal we're doing. But, you know, it's true. Like, Sean and I being more regular users, you know, it takes more of it to get me high or a higher amount.
So it works that way.
Absolutely.
Well, and also, like if you were to, you know, smoke at night, I would trust you to drive in the morning versus that may affect Fred differently or Phil differently. He may not want to drive for 24 hours.
I don't trust Phil to drive anytime.
Okay. I get high eating oregano, let alone smoking weed.
Do you, Phil?
I don't trust Fred. Right.
All right. Yeah. Well, listen, this was a lot of fun, but I have to go get a monitor put on my heart now.
Yeah,
whatever.
Palpitations.
Don't worry about me. Don't worry about me. I just have, you know, a regular heart arrhythmia. Whatever. Yeah, that's right. This close. Emergency, St. Joseph's, all of it.
All of it. Sorry, I wasn't here for any of it.
That's all right.
My condolences.
Missed a great bits.
I heard some.
All right, people, we got to take a break now for the next 24 hours. We'll see you tomorrow morning.
Phil?
This episode of Humble and Fred Radio is brought to you by FYI Music News, The Return. Hey, Gig Sky, The Chambers Plan, Strain Print, Freedom Construction, Ringside MD, Clear Air Solutions, and our newest sponsor, CDN Technologies. We broadcast to the world from the Humble and Fred Queensway National Broadcast Center. More Humble and Fred tomorrow and online at humbleandfredradio.com.
The jigsaw jazz and the get fresh flow. Pulling out jobs and jamboree handouts. Two turntables and a microphone. Bottles and cans, or just clap your hands. Or just clap your hands.
Where's that?